Craig and Scott with Ziggy on Radioslot.com. Welcome to the show, coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. Thank you for listening wherever you are. We're solving the world's problems in 45 minutes or less, or it's free.
There you go.
And if you're not offended in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
Or you're not listening.
Right. I'm Brian Drake. He's Scott. To my right and your left, we have the former Hollywood hooker, Ziggy. Something he just dropped on us here that we hadn't known about him. And
that was a past life.
Thought yeah. We're never going to talk about that.
Well, I told you we talk about anything and everything. So. Sounds like somebody's offended, and we're only 53 seconds into the program.
No, I forgot we're my doing pen. Good. That's what happened. I had to go get my pen.
We're doing good.
Somebody needs to read an ad.
Hey, rising electricity prices are strangling household budgets. How's yours? Take back control of your energy expense with solar power. Reach out to Alex Garnfield at 925-791-1776 for a complimentary consultation and pricing estimate. Don't miss their limited time offer of only $1 per month for the first 6 months. Act fast. 925-791-1776 to start saving money today. Be sure to mention Drake and Scott sent you.
Right on. Now, Scott is apparently not set up, making all kinds of adjustments to his microphone.
I'm so OCD.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be DOC, but I'm instead OCD.
What does DOC stand for?
Doctor or...
Oh, okay, okay. Got to go to school for that.
Director of...
I see.
Complications.
Right. I understand.
It should actually be CDO in order, like it belongs.
Well, alphabetical.
Well, we have a couple things to talk about today. We have Google spying on your incognito internet searches. My wife yelled at me for something somebody else did.
Welcome to the club, which might be
fun. We didn't get to this last week. An Indiana couple did not affirm their child's mental illness, so the state took the kid away, and they're asking for the Supreme Court to intervene. We can mess around with that. Netanyahu is ignoring Biden's red line because of reasons. Madonna at a concert the other day yelled at a fan for sitting down. Turns out the concert goer was in a wheelchair.
Isn't that awesome?
So it's like, go home, Madonna, you're drunk, so we can poke fun at her. That's the only reason I included it. I just want to just dunk on her because, you know, it's like, how rich are you? How rich do you need to be? Just call it a career and, you know.
Be done.
Yeah. So where do we want to start?
Well, we definitely don't want to start with Madonna.
No. We save that for last. Or we may have already made the joke.
I do love that calling people out without evidence or without pause or filter has become so normal that people are just doing it. And
right.
Getting their foot stuck in their mouth, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's had everything else in her mouth. She might as well put her foot in it.
Wait a minute.
I know.
I'm the one. I'm the one who normally makes
jokes. Should I say that or not? And I couldn't help it.
Okay.
Nice.
Scott,
she deserves as much criticism as she gets.
The email is drakeandscott3t@gmail.com. Yell at him for a change, because I'm always getting the crap around here because of the awful things I say.
Well, I'm pro most women, just not her.
Okay.
She's toxic.
Yes, indeed. Do we want to start our crazy on the way recaps?
Sure.
Anybody got one? Or should I just go into being yelled at for something someone else did?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, this happened last night. My wife is watching the 90 Day Fiancé tell-all. It's the end of the season, so they have the whole big cast get-together where everybody just continues their mental illness displays. And they were talking to this one couple, and they played a video of the husband who went to his bachelor party at a strip club. He had his family there. His wife is from Panama. She is bonkers. So she sees the video, and she just starts screaming and yelling and just really off the charts. And my wife turns to me and says, if you ever go to a strip club, that's probably how I'm going to react. And I'm going to be so mad at you and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, honey, I never leave the house. What are you doing? When is this going to happen? And this went on for a couple of minutes. And like, she was really upset. It's like, but I haven't done anything. See all the things you haven't caught me doing. So I go into self-defense mode, and it's like, why would I, that's something guys in their 20s do. I think some guys. Okay.
A few guys. Don't lump us all in that.
No, I know. I put myself in there, and that's
don't
not.
Don't you
that's
put not, that evil on me, yeah, Ricky.
No, I know. I think where she gets or got the idea is I told her the story of what was it? The big club in San Jose. I think it was Pink Poodle or something like that, where I took a wrong turn off of the, it was the 280 freeway in San Jose. So I was heading down to my dad's place, and I missed the exit I was supposed to take. So I took the next one, which put me at the far end, I think, of Camden Avenue in Campbell. And it's a long, very long street. And the first stretch off of that freeway is the jankiest looking neighborhoods you've ever seen. And, of course, that's where the Pink Poodle is. Now, it's closed. It's been closed for hundreds of years now. Oh, wow. But that used to be...
News to me.
Yeah. I lived in San Jose most of my life, so this.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I remember...
That's why you know so much about it.
Yeah. I'm not helping myself here, am I?
You need another shovel?
Well, it's like I've gone this far. I have to finish the story. So I remember telling her about, that was the big thing that we all joked about as kids, that we couldn't wait to be 21 so we can go and visit. Of course, by that time, it was closed. And yada, yada. And she thought the name was funny. So then, within 48 hours, I'm getting yelled at for something the guy on TV did. And it's just like, anyway.
Not my favorite part is you got in trouble for something she had you watch.
Yeah. She turned it on and then blames you for
what you're watching
she didn't force me to watch it. She had it on. And I thought, well, I'll sit with her for a little bit because we don't sit and watch stuff very often. And we used to watch that show all the time, and then it got stupid, and then, so we stopped.
Well, you watched it by choice.
Yeah, we used to, yeah.
90 Day Fiancé, you watched it by choice.
Yes, I started watching it, and she grumbled about it.
I'm
going to
need your man card.
No, hang on. This is how it happened.
Turn it in.
So I started watching it, and she was like, why are you watching this trash? And I said, because it's hilarious. So one day she starts watching, and then she gets hooked on it. So we're both hooked on it, and then it went all insane and crazy, so we stopped watching. We came back for, this thing last night.
Got in trouble.
And I got in trouble for not doing anything. It's like, well, I guess that makes up for all the stuff that she hasn't caught
me. I'm changing my opinion. I'm flip-flopping all the way to the other side. You started this whole thing by watching it. You got her involved in it, and then she got you in trouble for something that you started watching that now she forces you to watch.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can use that word, forces, because you're the original. Hi, it's you. You're the problem. I wonder if the Twist song is actually about you.
You know what I told her when she started getting mad? Uh-oh. I said, you need to calm down.
What's that other song? I did something wrong. Or I did something very bad.
I think that's one of the song titles. I had it on the phone here.
Anyways.
Are you drawing a blank space?
Hmm?
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. That took a second.
Yeah. Well, look what she made you do.
Yeah.
It's funny that we know so many references. We're in six episodes or something into our contest.
Five or six of not mentioning her name. Yeah.
Yeah.
And nice.
Or what?
Yeah.
There's two bets going on. One with her number one fan that if we don't say anything mean about her, she makes the cups.
If we don't say her name.
Yeah.
Taylor's number one fan sent in an email with this contest. If we don't say Sailor Twist's name for 10 episodes, then she's going to send us a gift.
Okay.
And then we made a side bet that we owe cigars to whoever fails the test. It's okay. the same test.
Right. Okay. I've
like the previous one of not mentioning the former president's name on the air, which I still haven't done in 44 episodes now.
40. No, last week was 43. Yeah, I've just been focused on how close we are to 52 episodes. So we haven't talked about the bet lately, so I kind of forgot about it.
I know. You're distracted because you're too busy thinking about 90 Day Fiancé.
Mm-hmm. There was a time when the show was very good, and now it's just a train wreck.
I don't believe you.
Yeah.
No, they had this one episode or this one season.
No, we've talked about this enough already.
No, no, yeah. No. But they just let me give you an example.
Where
you had this guy.
Shake it off.
There was this fellow in Nevada who was emailing this girl in Ukraine, and for whatever reason, every time he would set up a meet to go over and see her, she would flake. So he goes over to look for her, and it's just this whole thing. You know, every address he tries, she's not there. He hires a private detective. Yeah, this is a scam. He goes, no, she's a real woman. This is true love. So anyway, eventually she shows up, and it was quite the dramatic episode. And it was it used to be very good, and now it's just, you know, reality trash television. So.
That attempt to convince me failed to work.
You just need to watch one episode.
Yeah, I do have a show I want to watch, though.
What?
We can get to that later.
Which, okay. So what is your crazy
I was driving here today, and I saw a Tesla that was the brightest orange. And I thought, why would you do that to a nice car? You ruined a car.
Is it like Hugger Orange that the Camaros used to come in back in the 60s? Or?
No. This is like a bright, like a neon. Mm. Like I'm really trying to get attention and light up the street everywhere I go because it's so bright. It was a terrible decision. I don't know. I don't want anything in my life that's that color. And
yeah.
he painted his whole car that.
It's probably a wrap, not a paint job.
I don't. Doesn't matter.
Right.
I don't care either way.
Okay.
Just take the wrap off or get it repainted, whichever it is. Just, my eyes hurt still from looking at that.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Ziggy, what about you? Nothing.
Still trying to change the subject from my introduction.
Oh well. See, now that you brought it up again.
Darn it.
I got another crazy.
Okay.
I was reminded that it's tax season and that got to get the taxes ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to somebody this weekend and they were touting the advantages of Florida and how there's no income tax in Florida.
Right.
I was slightly tempted to go to Florida.
Well,
because I've started working on my taxes of what I have to pay or what I owe. And,
mm-hmm.
It's painful.
Yeah.
I'm going to need counseling.
Well, the whole states with no income thing, they get their money somehow. So you're paying for it one way or another. And
it just drew attention to the fact that Gavin Newsom is going to get more of my money and gets money from every single person
The state. Well, I guess in California you're getting double dipped. Yeah. So in Florida and Texas it's only the one time. But I don't know. What are you going to do? I mean, Texas has horrible weather and bugs bigger than your fist. I don't care if I can buy a machine gun. It's like the weather's awful. And Florida, I've never been to, but it can't be much better.
I don't know. It's got to be. Surrounded by beaches on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You get plenty of sun. Disney World. No income tax. And it's like it's the center for cigar warehouses and for the whole country.
Well, okay. But because of that, the humidity is going to be very high.
Yeah, which keeps your cigars healthier longer. I'm winning this argument, Brian.
You're not winning the argument because I've lived in high humidity, and it's not fun. I mean, Minnesota, it's like you get out of the shower and you can't dry off because it's constantly misty out, and it's just, ugh.
Yeah. So. We lived in the South for 3 years. You get used to it.
Okay.
Everybody says that, and you don't believe it, and then you go live it, and you're like, yeah, kind of.
It's not too bad.
After a few months, you get used to it. I got another crazy on the way. This might be the best one.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys were there for this one.
Okay.
In our pre-production meeting, my daughter calls.
Oh, yes.
That was awesome. Where's Grandpa? I just woke up, which is a whole nother story, right?
Well.
What time is it? And she's just waking up.
It was like 10:30.
Yeah. Where's Grandpa? I don't know. I don't understand the question. What do you mean? You can't find a person that doesn't leave the house? No, I looked in the restroom and I looked on the front porch. He's, I can't find him. I said, well, do you check the garage? No. Well, what have you checked? It's like she only checked a couple of rooms. Then all of a sudden she says, oh, wait, no, I found him. Oh, where was he? In the closet. How did you, you have to walk by the closet to check the bathroom. So how did you not see the closet? I don't know. Crazy.
And then she said, don't worry, I'll get him out of the closet. I'll make him come out of the closet.
I'll make sure he comes out of the closet finally.
And then she said, make sure you talk about me a lot.
Yeah, there you go. 12 seconds, man.
All right, we're up on a break. Be right back. Craig and Scott back with you on Radioslot.com. I forgot the lyrics started quickly on this song here. This is the two guys I told you about earlier, Chromeo. One's
one's
Jewish, the other one's Palestinian. They call themselves the world's only Middle East peace plan. So you kind of got this disco vibe thing they do, and it's they're very good.
Pretty groovy.
Yeah. Give it a few more seconds here. Scott's doing something on his laptop.
I'm just filling in show details so we keep track. We actually are organized. People probably don't think that, but we do. We track things and we pay attention.
You do.
Usually.
You do. You do. I don't. Someone talked to me the other day about something we said on the show, and it's like, I don't remember. I'm sure you're right. I just don't remember. I have no recollection of what you're discussing with me.
Really? Yeah. I'm curious. What do you remember? Like, of the things in life, what are the things that you remember easily, and then what are the things you can't remember?
Hmm. Well, I mean, you remember important things.
For example, movie lines. I can remember movie lines from movies I haven't seen in 30 years, and for some reason, they just come back to me. Boom. Right? I could spend a whole show just quoting movie lines, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you ask me what your name is, it will take me a while. Brian, right? Because you see, a couple times I've read the slot for Alex Garfield, who sells solar. You should call him at 971-1776-925, right? And I've said, tell him that Brian and Scott called you, right? It's supposed to be Drake and Scott. Names are the hardest thing for me for some reason. But if you give me a quote from a movie or a song, there you go.
Locked in.
Now, if you ask me the name of who sang the song, a chance.
Nope, not one person.
Anyways. What do you remember?
I remember a lot of things.
You can't remember what you remember, right?
Right, exactly, because you're putting me on the spot. But no, it's like with my books. It's like if the books a book I wrote, you know, 3 years ago, someone wants to talk to me about. It's like, well, that was book one. I'm working on book 10 now. I don't remember those little details. I have to go back and look.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I guess when it comes to things creative, then I you know, you're moving from one to the next so quickly. I don't really think about what we just finished. I'm thinking about what we're going to do next.
Yeah.
So
I can remember a lot of things, like where I put them. Like, nobody wants to see my desk. My desk, for most people, is a catastrophic mess.
Mm-hmm. Science experiment.
But I know where everything is.
Right.
At the same time, during the break on this podcast I do with a couple of my buddies, I can lose my coffee that's sitting right next to me, and I can't remember where it is.
It was less than a foot away from you,
and I left the room to go find my coffee.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. I have issues.
All right.
You know what it was? I hadn't drank my coffee yet.
That's right. So you weren't awake. Why don't we start with this Indiana situation? Because we didn't get to this one last week.
I love, we already did the Madonna thing, but I forgot. I love your little line. Go home, Madonna. You're drunk.
Well, we covered it, but I hadn't seen that line yet. Don't erase it, because there's details in there I think we should point out.
Oh, we're going to come back to it?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
So we have Indiana parents. They're calling on the Supreme Court to weigh their case after the state government removed their child from their home once the child started identifying as transgender, according to a new petition. When Mary and Jeremy Cox's son in 2019 assumed a self-declared female identity, the Catholic couple refused to agree with their son's declaration. In 2021, the Indiana government began investigating the family after learning the parents did not accept their son's chosen identity, and the government subsequently removed their son from their home and placed him in a home that affirmed his mental illness. That's my words, not the articles. Yeah.
I got all kinds of problems with this.
Uh-huh.
The state's removal of their son was prompted by, quote, abuse allegations against the Cox family, which were ultimately dropped, though the state still argued the, quote, disagreement over gender identity was distressing. What is so funny?
The family name.
This story is about transgender trying to switch. What's the name of the family?
Cox.
The Cox family. That's, yeah. That's
See,
wrong.
This is the second time.
You've made this up. You made this story up.
No, this is the second time you've made a dirty joke.
Yeah.
And what?
I didn't. No, I didn't. And
where's Scott
over here laughing and smirking? It's like
I'm trying to talk about a serious story about a child being forcibly removed from their home, and you guys are making jokes.
Well, yes. Well, they got removed from the Cox family. That's funny. I mean, it could be cleaner. That could be the closet family. They took him out of the closet family. That would have been funny, too.
They're removing little cocks.
Oh, my God.
I apologize because we want to be a family show, that is
see,
so
I'm trying
punny.
Very. I am trying so hard to not go to the lowest common denominator here, and you two... Usually
you
it's
missed
me
it. We pointed out because you missed it. You're reading it all serious.
I am, you know, pounding on the table in outrage here, and you guys are just having your little fun. So, anyway, that's I don't know if I'm going to get any. I think the point's been made by what I did read here. What do we think? And why is the state wrong?
It's government overreach. How do you take kids from
way too much?
Because a kid's opinion is different than his parents. I mean, what happens when the kid wants vanilla instead of chocolate after dinner?
Like, and how much of this has to do with them being Catholic?
I wanted beef. They made me eat chicken. I wanted to go to McDonald's. They decided to cook at home. They're not affirming my preferences. What? How old is this kid? Does it say?
It doesn't. Hang on.
Doesn't say how old he is.
Well, Indiana claims the Cox's dispute is now moot because their child has since turned 18, but the parents now seek to hold the state accountable.
Yeah.
So he is.
I am 100% on the parent side. I hope that they win a major settlement and that the state has to pay. Governments can't take kids from parents. Oh, they're going to say this is abuse or something, right?
No, well, it says the filing to the Supreme Court describes the dispute as one of nationwide importance and argues that Indiana's reaction to the conflict infringed on free speech and religious liberty. So I'm not the only one saying, well, is it because they're Catholic that the state did this?
Wait, it's religious liberty now for the kid to change his gender?
No, it's religious liberty for the parents to pat the kid on the head and say, that's nice, now, you know.
Oh, to raise their kids?
Yeah.
They brought into the world under the way they want to raise their kid?
Right.
Gee, there's a novel thought.
So we'll see what the court does with this. I don't think there's been an update.
I would love for the Supreme Court to take this and then watch even the liberal judges side and the family win this 9-0.
Well, the last paragraph here says, justices in recent times have avoided a number of transgender-related legal disputes that have been filed to their chambers. In January, the court declined to consider a separate dispute out of Indiana over a transgender student's effort to use preferred bathrooms. So they may, considering this is about actually removing someone from a home and placing them somewhere else, that might put it on a different level than just, you know, what bathroom do you want to use. So I can't say the court's not going to hear it.
Well, it's a slippery slope. Like, at what point, what decisions does a kid get to make that now the state can take a kid out of a family? That's crazy. It's not like we're doing a good job of housing all the kids who legitimately need parents and a home to live in because their parents are gone or, you know, they're in the system for orphanage or adopted.
Right.
You know, come on. We've got bigger problems to deal with.
But no, we have to.
And this violates one of my main principles.
Which is what?
Where's dad?
Well, the dad is in the home.
The dad's there.
Yeah.
And now we're removing him from dad?
Right.
And from mom?
Right.
Because gee whiz.
We have to champion mental illness now.
And yeah. Why don't they have a conversation for a little while?
Mm-hmm. All right. Almost time for our next break. Let's do Madonna real quick here. Madonna calls out concert goer for sitting down during L.A. show, only to see the fan is sitting in a wheelchair. So she's doing the concert. This was last Thursday in Los Angeles. Looks at this individual and says, quote, "What are you doing sitting down over there? What are you getting sitting down?" And then she walked to the edge of the stage to get a closer look at the fan. And that's when, according to the New York Post here, that's when the 80s pop icon realized she made the mortifying mistake. Oh, okay, politically incorrect. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Jeez Louise.
And she gets away with it. I hope there's a lawsuit there.
I don't know. That's
terrible.
Yeah.
Go home.
I just
terrible.
I almost just said Jeez Louise, and that's Madonna's real name. So.
Really?
Louise, yeah.
More information than I needed to know.
Or it's her middle name or something. Well, back in the 80s, you know, she was really popular.
Well, when you were reading that, I was thinking to myself, wait, we're in the 20s. We're talking about something.
Just something that happened last century.
Someone who was relevant 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Feel old yet?
Yeah. I wonder like, if this person will be compensated at all. Like, is sorry all she gets?
Probably, but I think the embarrassment that, you know, Madonna gets by having this story related in a national newspaper is probably punishment enough. So,
terrible.
Yeah, so we have a couple things. We can talk about Google spying on your incognito internet searches. One here I found that was quite amusing. Never tell a narcissist they're a narcissist because they go bonkers and stuff. Oh, we have a book coming out from a liberal white woman. She's written about black history. Because liberal white women know everything about black history.
Oh, no. That book's going to make $4.
Mm-hmm. All right, back after this. Craig and Scott with Ziggy on Radioslot.com. Back for our third segment. 15 minutes of amazingness.
Shenanigans.
Right? Yeah, and tomfoolery and shenanigans. Scott's busy on his cell phone and not paying attention.
Totally.
Yeah. Which is ironic because you wanted to talk about the Oscars that aired yesterday as we record this, but as you hear it, it's going to be a week old news now. But yeah, tell us about the Oscars.
Totally missed it.
I missed it too.
Yeah.
So what is it you want to talk about?
Well, just the fact that I get my political intake from many other places. I don't need to watch the Oscars anymore.
All right.
So I stopped years ago, stopped watching the Oscars because I was tired of getting all the political, you know, speeches about this and that and the other. But apparently, this Oppenheimer movie had 13 nominations.
Oh, wow.
And I think they won 6 of them.
Wow.
And Cillian Murphy got Best Actor. Robert Downey Jr. got Best Supporting Actor, which I love. Because the times I've ever heard about who won, it's always the wrong people in my mind. I always wanted someone else to win. And I was really happy for... This is the guy who was the star of Peaky Blinders.
Right.
Yeah.
And I like Robert Downey Jr. also. So the fact that they both won, I was just like, oh, yeah, this is great.
So nobody watched Ryan Gosling do his I'm Just Ken song?
No, tell us about it, Brian.
From the Barbie movie. I'm just looking up the headlines.
No, he did that song, and Billie Eilish did her song from the movie, from the Barbie movie also.
I see.
Which is a pretty good song. It's a well-done song, but it was a little ironic how hard they tried to push the Barbie thing, and then Barbie came home empty-handed.
So Oppenheimer won big, coming in with 13 nominations and earning awards in major categories such as Best Director, Best Actor, etc. Barbie, the other half of the dual box office Barbenheimer sensation, earned 8 nominations but only got one win Sunday night for Best Song. I see.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
So Billie Eilish won?
I guess.
All right. I hope so.
I don't know.
I thought her song was pretty talented.
Mm.
What's the music? I always get all the music shows, their names mixed up.
The Grammys?
The Grammys.
Yeah.
She performed the song at that too. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good. I liked it.
Oh, how nice for her.
So good for her.
Yeah.
But, hey, Cillian Murphy, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He played, he was in one of the Batman movies. He was like Screwface or.
Yeah, he's one of the Scarecrow.
Scarecrow.
That's yeah. Scarecrow, yeah.
Yeah, he did pretty good.
I'm Screw really face. Hoping.
Where'd that come from?
I'm hoping this puts him over the top for next James Bond actor. Because they're trying to figure out who's going to do that next.
Yeah, I had a friend who was an actor a long time ago, and he always said that, and you know, if you get so much as a nomination, then your price tag goes up. So there was somebody, a lady friend of his, who got nominated for a screenplay, and he said that even if she doesn't win, the next time she gets a job, her price tag starts at $1 million or something like that.
Wow.
So his price tag just went up because he won Best Actor.
Well, exactly. And my point there is I don't think Barbara Broccoli can afford him. So we'll see.
What's the reference, Barbara Broccoli?
She is the daughter of Albert Broccoli, who was the original producer of the James Bond movies, and now it's her and her stepbrother in charge. I know everything.
And you're not happy about that.
I'm not. You know, but it's like, no, I've been a James Bond fan since I could walk, so it's I know way too much about those movies and those books and yada yada yada. So
okay. Would you be okay with Cillian Murphy being the next Bond?
I don't think that'd be a problem.
You wouldn't be shaken or stirred by that?
No. No, I wouldn't. Nice. Nobody could be any worse than Daniel Craig. I'll just put it that way. So
what?
Anything after Craig is going to be an improvement.
Oh man,
mm-hmm.
We have found something that you and I vehemently disagree on.
Right.
I love Daniel Craig.
Okay.
I'm semi depressed that he's moved on.
I'm not.
I thought he was great.
I didn't think so. Casino Royale was good. After that, everything was all downhill from there.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's Sean Connery, Roger Moore, and Timothy Dalton, and then Pierce Brosnan. So that's pretty much all of them except Lazenby, who only did one movie. But those,
all right, so
those
who's your Bond then?
Those four.
No, who's your Bond? You got to pick one.
Oh, okay. Well, the one I started with was Roger Moore.
Roger Moore.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's who I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Just love Roger Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, Daniel Craig competes with him.
No.
Not
at all.
And I would make room for Cillian to take first place if he gets it.
Sure, why not?
Because I think
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Right. I'm letting display itself. So,
next your daughter will be trying to get you out of the closet.
Yeah, I know. Where's Dad? Can't find her. Call Mom.
All right, who wants to pick what we talk about next? I'm usually the one doing that, and maybe
what's the red line thing, Biden? Red a line. I mean, aren't all his lines red?
Something like that. He wants
Netanyahu's ignoring him. Because,
he's telling Israel to calm down, and Israel's like, "No, brah, we're gonna take care of our business."
Well, if Netanyahu just waits a couple minutes, Biden will forget what he said.
Well, exactly. From the New York Post, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made clear Sunday that he would be willing to ignore President Biden's quote red line and go forward with an invasion of Rafah as the Jewish state continues its military campaign in Gaza. So, yeah, U.S. is telling them to calm down, and they're like, no, that's all right. So, Israel has faced heightened scrutiny as the death toll in the Palestinian enclave continues to rise to at least 30,000. Biden said he was against further fighting in Rafah and called the invasion of the area a red line, but then quickly backtracked to say there was no red line. So, don't cross that line, except there's no line there.
Wait, are you saying that Biden changes his position on things?
Within a few minutes, yeah.
Yeah, and drastically changes his position.
Yeah, so for...
Like the border crisis?
Exactly. So Mr. Biden says here, it's a red line, but I'm never going to leave Israel. The defense of Israel is so critical. So there's no red line at which I'm going to cut off all weapons so they don't have the Iron Dome to protect them, but I'm still going to tell them not to... Don't do that.
Don't do that.
I'm not going to do anything if you do that, but don't do that. That's essentially what he's saying.
He's speaking out of both sides of his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Netanyahu said he didn't care whether Biden was in favor of military action in Rafah or not, and yada, 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 October 7th, yeah, and blah, blah, blah.
You know, when dad starts talking out of both sides of his mouth,
mm-hmm.
the kids stop believing dad.
Exactly.
Stop yep. trusting him.
Right.
You know, I would publicly thank my dad because he was always very clear. You never got two different stories out of dad. He was solid all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
But Biden, I mean, when he took office, there was no problem at the border. And now the border's a crisis all of a sudden for him. It's like, wait, we've been saying this for 8 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, former president made it a big thing. He shows up, changes all the former president's policies on the border. And now there is a crisis. And it's like, what are you doing? So
why don't you say his name? The bet's over.
I don't know. It's just fun. It's just fun to keep it going and rub it in that you lost.
So you're saying when Donald Trump left office, we didn't have a problem with the border, and then Biden comes in and suddenly we have a problem with the border.
No. I think we were working on it, and Biden put everything on halt that was being worked on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that just made everything worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually pretty funny because Dana Carvey now has a little skit out about Biden where he's doing an impersonation of him from 3 years ago, and then he does an impersonation from last week.
I see.
Where he's totally flip-flopped and with all the Bidenisms and stuff like that. It's supposed to be really awesome. I have not heard it yet either.
So, yeah, I do hope there's a challenge to a push-up contest in there somewhere.
Absolutely.
So.
Hey, so let's do a little teaser for next week because there's no way we're going to be able to cover this today. But harsh truths that you learn the hard way.
Yes, I thought that would be a fun article to go through.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to kill me that I got to wait a week to cover this, but we don't have time.
Well, we got 5 minutes. We can at least...
No, you want to start it?
We can hit a couple of them, sure.
I don't know. I guess we could. As long as we don't have to talk about Madonna anymore.
Well, no, because I thought... You know, what I was thinking with this article is that we can go through it and then discuss whether or not these truths are actually true, and then have we... encounter these in our own lives and, what have we learned the hard way, that kind of thing. So, yeah, maybe we need to save this for opening next week. But, like, number one, not everybody will like you. Two, failure is part of success. You can't control everything. Number three, I mean, just, kind of things like that, we actually do learn the hard way sometimes. And,
Yeah. Let's save it and we'll get into it next week.
All right.
Save it.
That'd be awesome.
Shall we talk about how we should never tell a narcissist they're narcissists because then they go crazy?
As long as you don't make it personal. It's not about me, is it?
No.
That was a snarky joke.
I know. Okay,
trying to go with
One thing, one thing we talked about in the pre-show meeting was the debate over the fence. Because where you work, they fix the fence and,
Let's get into that. So
we got so go ahead.
Property where I work, there's a back fence that went down.
Yeah, big storms recently and it knocked
over.
Yeah,
opposite side of the fence, apartment complex. And we show up at work one day and the fence has been totally replaced, I assume, by the apartment complex. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, sweet, we got a new fence. And then I'm thinking to myself, wait, we should be responsible for half of that fence, maybe? Or what's our company's responsibility for that fence? As it borders our neighbor.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, should we be contacting them and offering to help with the cost of the fence or something like that? And you said...
My first immediate immediate reaction, having no dog in this hunt, was, forget that.
Yeah, freeze free.
Yeah. It was probably covered under their insurance, so it really didn't cost them anything. And if they had a significant cost, I'm sure they would have contacted your company anyway. They didn't. So, my first reaction is, whatever.
Yeah.
But then it's like, it would be neighborly to at least make the offer.
Yeah, be a good neighbor.
Yeah. So, it's not going to hurt to ask.
Okay,
so here's tell you no.
If I called my mom right now and said, "Mom, what do you think? What should we do?"
Oh, she'd tell you to ask.
Yeah,
just to be polite.
If I call my dad right now,
he'd probably tell you.
What would he tell me?
He'd tell you the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. There's reality, and then there's just me being a smartass.
Yeah.
Now, so it's like I know it's the right thing to do.
If I called Elon Musk, what would he tell me to do? He He would say, forget it.
Yeah, well.
You got a free fence.
No, he'd say, why are you bothering me? Is what he would probably say.
I bet we could get different opinions on that.
I'm sure we could.
I mean, just the fact that you and I had different opinions.
Well, I just made up a different opinion just to...
Pre-production.
Yeah, just to
be grumpy.
Just to be grumpy. Half of the shtick I do is
what
just me
you
being
found
a contrarian.
Out that the person who organized the fixing of the fence was an old lady?
Then it's fair game.
Then what would you do?
The right thing to do is still say, hey, thank you for fixing the fence. Would you like us to contribute to the cost?
Okay.
Like a good neighbor.
It doesn't matter who is doing it or you know who fixed it or who's in charge over there. It's the polite thing to do. And if they say no, thank you, but thank you for making the offer, then maybe you've made a friend. And I don't see how you can lose. And if they do say, hey, that'd be great if you could pay half of it, well, then, you know. Maybe that's a new relationship you've established, and again, you can't lose.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Sir Drake is here.
Brian Drake's Naked Cruelty is a bit. Okay, I've been doing this sort of thing for 30 years, and it's Drake is not even my real name. I'm playing a character here. So come on. When it's to completely ruin the show for some people here. That yeah, half of the shtick I do is exactly that. So,
all right, well,
yeah. I was thinking, and you're shocked. I could see you're expecting that I'm going to continue to
well,
just be the grumpy contrarian here.
Well, for my side of this, when I first mentioned it, you're like, nah, forget it. They paid for it. It's done. It's over. I was like, whoa. And then we start talking about it. You change your position. So I like your ability to change gears.
So I'm not like Joe Biden then, where I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth? Or
I know. It was a hot mic moment. But then when we do get you on mic, you're like, no, we should participate.
Well, I said the first part.
Okay.
You know, I didn't change the story. I said, yeah, I started out saying, no, forget them. And then it was like, no, that's reality. Let's talk about that instead.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the company decides to do. Because I'm going to bring it up.
Sure.
We'll see what they decide.
Yeah. It's not going to take 2 years and you're going to have a committee meeting and
I don't know.
Et cetera.
More than half of them don't listen to me, so. There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'll be right back with our post-game report. Drake and Scott with Ziggy on Radioslot.com. Our final segment, the last 5 minutes, the part of the show we all hate. Because, you know, we really should be going.
It's over.
Yeah, we should be going longer, but some of us don't have all day to hang out here. So, where was I? Or where were we? You wanted to talk about Dune.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier the shows that I want to watch, and a couple of my kids went and saw the new Dune 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, really? It's been like 40 years. Because the first one came out in the 80s, and they're like, no, it didn't. So that was a fun conversation, yeah. Trying to explain to them that the 2021 Dune
was actually a remake
from almost 40 years prior. I think the first one is 1984.
It's somewhere around there, yeah.
Wow. So I didn't even know there was
the guy from Twin Peaks was in it.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
So I didn't realize there was a remake, and then didn't realize that there was a Dune 2 coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they went and saw it, and they said it's amazing. It's like a cross between Star Wars and, what was the HBO's... the Dragons and... Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they said it was a cross between Game of Thrones and Star Wars, and it's being touted as like one of the best movies to come out in a really, really long time, and you got to see it. And I was like, well, I haven't seen
the first one.
Well, I've seen the first one, but I haven't seen the remake of the first one.
Right, now you got to see the remake because it's two different shows.
They told me that the 1980s one doesn't count because they're canceling everything.
Well, it does count, as in it does exist. I just remember a lot of controversy about it because they had to truncate a very long book and nobody was happy with what they cut out and what they left in and what they changed. And so it is a good movie by itself if you can separate yourself from the book. But this new one was a little bit more faithful. And why are you sticking your tongue out? I'm just giving you... the reason I know this is because I know... I know one of the people involved in it. I met him at one of the publishing conferences I was at. He's working with the original author's son, and is kind of between the two of them. They got this done, and it's a whole big thing. And yeah, okay, maybe it's more than you want to know, but it is closer to the book than the original one, even though they still made some changes.
Okay.
Duly noted.
Yeah.
All right.
It seems like I just took the air out of your balloon here. And it's
I just wanted to see Dune 2, but I got to wait and see.
You didn't want the history, huh?
The prequel from 2021. But I looked it all up so that when we talked about this, I could cover it. You can find it on Max, which used to be HBO Max. Now it's just called Max. And okay. You can watch it for free there if you have a Max membership. So I guess it's not free. But you can also check it out on Amazon Prime.
Sure.
You can order it there and whatnot. It's supposed to be really, really good. No, I'm going to.
Yeah, all right.
And then I'll have an update in the future.
Okay.
We'll see. So, but this brings us to the end of our show, the post-game report, brought to you today by Public Shaming.
Okay. Where are you going with this?
Well, we had our 80s pop icon who decided to shame someone in public because they weren't standing up without knowing all of the information or not doing any background work. And then they made a public statement that shamed this person, and then come to find out, well, you were wrong. Now, I want to ask the question. If she was right, is it still good to publicly shame somebody?
No. I mean, it's like, you know, when I'm at church, I tend not to stand for the music, and I'm always waiting for someone to tell me or ask me, how come you're not standing? And it's like, well, because it's none of your business.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, well, it would be a lot of fun.
And if somebody publicly shames you in that environment, you're probably not going back to that church.
No, I'll go back just to piss that person off, and I will keep sitting down during the music. You can just
try to shame them in public.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not. Yeah. You know, I'm not gonna.
All right, this is my thing. Let's avoid public shaming. Nothing good comes out of public shaming.
I agree. Yeah.
And the critique, like movie critics, and all this you're posting online, all that stuff. It's become a virus. What if we eliminated all shame? What would that do for the people around us? And
for a lot of people, I think it would be helpful.
Well, I got a new policy I want to float.
Okay,
right. If you publicly shame somebody, then you should be shamed in public.
Okay.
Except for it's contradictory to the point I'm trying to make.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I'm kind of hesitating on.
No, I'm being sarcastic.
Right. Oh, okay.
You know, I just think it's terrible when you do stuff like that. You know.
Well, yes, it is.
And I think the Cox family story is along that lines, where the state is trying to publicly shame that family by taking the kid out of their house.
For sure. Yeah.
So it's just kind of a thematic thing that it came to me as we were doing the show.
I understand.
No more public shaming.
No more.
Okay.
Except for on this show.
On the show. And does that count if we shame each other? I mean, it's...
Yes, you know. I've been slacking on my text. Sorry, Brian.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting. Yeah, I asked Ziggy to remind me every day that I was a... How do I say? You know, it was a family show. That I need to lose a few pounds, and yeah, he did fall off on that. So thanks, it's good to know I can count on you.
Yes.
All right, email us, drakeandscott@gmail.com. The Scott has three T's. If you have thoughts on public shaming or hard truths you learned the hard way, we're going to cover that next week.
Also, if you just want to get on Scott's case for making dirty jokes today, I mean, for once, it wasn't me.
It was an observation.
Yeah.
It was just an observation.
Wait, so that's the excuse. I'm just making an observation.
It's not an excuse. Uh-huh. There's no excuse. It was a clear observation of something that was in text on the screen right there.
Yeah.
You missed it. Ziggy couldn't get past it.
All right.
He stopped breathing for a minute.
Yeah,
he was laughing so hard.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week.
Apologies. All right.